Hello there, fiends. This is the caretaker for the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's official podcast. And you're listening to an excellent, scary, spooky, freaky podcast. This is put together by lovely people who care about people like me, the bony undead. But anyway, I just want to let you know that the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society podcast is available at www.louisvillegs.com or on iTunes. So, halt your iPod today and get me in there, okay? Possess me by your iPod. Make me feel at home inside your little portable MP3 player. And of course, learn about the paranormal and get freaked out along the way. Alright, back in the grave I go. But be sure and download our podcast and subscribe, because I'll miss you and haunt you if you don't.
Questing for the mystery of life can get old. It's like looking for a break in a code. Deduce it, reduce it, dissolve it. Just try to resolve it. The best you can get is a mercurial hold. It's like plucking all the petals off a rose to find the mystery of all the beauty it holds. One by one they are falling. Still no secret is falling. Just the pieces of a beautiful
Constantine, world-renowned psychic medium, check out my website at www.williamconstantine.com. In the meantime, return to listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
David John Oates is the founder and developer of Reverse Speech Technologies. He was the first person to ever document speech reversals in human speech in 1983 and has worked extensively since then on research and development, as well as maintaining a therapeutic and consulting practice. He has recently returned to Australia to live after residing in the United States for 10 years. David has been compared to Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, and Nikola Tesla, and his work described as being of Nobel caliber with far-reaching ramifications in such fields as law and psychology. Ghostly Talk is very pleased and honored to welcome David John Oates of ReverseSpeech.com. Welcome, David.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for having me.
And I think you'll notice there is a bit of a delay. It's about a half-second delay in the phone lines.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, we're whizzing through space and time via wires and satellites and things like that. So there's a tiny bit of a delay, David, but I'm wondering how was the United States able to keep you here for 10 years when you had Australia to go to? Because if it were up to me, I'd be living with you guys in Australia.
I would so be in Australia.
Well, I think I finally came to that conclusion myself. I moved back home in late 99, just in time for the turn of the millennium. After living in the United States for 10 years, I lectured and did training classes and taught. It was a very eventful 10 years, but I must admit I much prefer being back home in Australia.
And I don't blame you. I know that one of my dreams is to get to Australia eventually. I was digging through the internet. I was talking to you briefly before. I was digging through the internet about a completely unrelated topic, and I knew that you were becoming on the show today. And I happened to run across a few files, old files, on the internet. They're not even in HTML format, because this was pre-HTML and World Wide Web.
Wow.
And it's two documents. Both of them comprise a single article or a single paper written by you called A Brief History of Reverse Speech. It was written on September 11th, 1990. So we're talking, what is it, 16 years?
16 years ago almost, yeah.
16 years ago. You were working on this, and of course in your bio it says since 1983. So this has really become a lifelong pursuit, and I was reading that sort of accidental. I mean, you had a tape recorder go awry, right? And then the kids were saying, "Well, what is this stuff?" So tell us a little bit about how that all started, because that's something that I don't hear very often. But I think it's amazing how a happy accident can change someone's outlook and direct their life path for so long. What happened? Why did you get into this?
Oh, dear me. We're getting back to the very early beginnings. Yeah. Well, I actually dropped a tape player in a toilet bowl. That was the accident you're referring to. And I pulled the thing out, and it wasn't working, and I pulled it apart to try to fix it up, and somehow I accidentally rewired it, so it only played in reverse. So I had this pretty useless Walkman on my hand and only played backwards. Then a few months later, I was back in Australia and I was running a halfway house for street kids. I'm a youth worker by profession. And they'd heard rumors that if certain records were played backwards, you could hear these evil satanic messages.
Oh, yeah.
They came to me and we'll play some of those.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And then when they came to me and they asked me what I thought about all of this stuff, and I didn't know much about it, but I said, hey, listen, but I just happen to have this little Walkman at home that plays backwards. So let's go home and get this Walkman out and listen to some of these tapes. And, you know, it was all a bit of a joke, really. And and I started playing these tapes backwards that they claimed had these messages, and I could hear what they were hearing. And I was quite intrigued. And so thus began a little search on my behalf to try to find out what all of these backward messages meant. And then I stumbled across it in human speech a few months later, and I'm amazed that no one had ever looked at speech before I came along. You know, all the stuff was on music. And then once I found it in speech, I realized there was something more to it, and I reversed away for a couple of years, and in 1987, I announced my discovery and wrote my first book. And, the rest is history. I went over to America to live a couple of years later, and I was there for 10 years.
Well, fascinating. You know what's interesting is history, I think, is sometimes doomed to repeat itself, because just this past weekend, we got the news that a poor young American, about 18 years old or so, dropped his iPod in the toilet on an airplane. And unfortunately nowadays reactions seem to be a bit more strained than when you had dropped your Walkman in the toilet, because instead of just pulling it out and saying oops and nope, it doesn't work anymore, they grounded the airplane in Ottawa, Canada, rounded up all of the passengers, interrogated them for a couple of hours, and while they fished out this errant iPod.
Yeah, this harmless iPod.
Yeah, but I do not know yet if it only plays MP3s in reverse yet. That I do not know. But I have a feeling they may not even try it. But,
no. But, I think it's 1,000 pieces right now.
Yeah,
you know that.
History,
I think
it's in a lab, I'm sure. But, but you guys, it's like history is repeating itself.
Yeah, it
is. I have to say, that's absolutely phenomenal. I remember, because I was a kid, although I wasn't at your halfway house for street kids, I was about that age when this all was going on, and they were talking about, and I remember they would indeed, and you mentioned this in your ASCII text report, they would indeed have record burning parties. I mean, whole huge.
Oh, yeah.
It really did grip the world.
It was a huge back then, and religious fundamentalists in particular were preaching from the pulpit that rock and roll was the devil's music and it contains these evil, backward, satanic messages. And they were burning records in the streets, and it was quite intense back in those days. It really was. Yeah.
And then, but what I think has happened though is you've, because this is, you know, you became obsessed with this topic, and you've found, I believe, that actually, if you record people's speeches on CNN or their commercials or their press releases, or, you know, you record them talking about things and you play it backwards, you don't necessarily get all this evil stuff like in the rock and roll, but you get...
Oh, no, not at all, no. No, and even in rock and roll itself, you don't get evil stuff in a lot of the records I've looked at. The evil message is just in the small minority. But, it's occurring all through human speech. It's a natural function of language. As all of us are speaking, we're creating the sounds of our speech in such a way that we're delivering two messages, one forward and one in reverse. And if you take any section of human speech and run it backwards, about once every, on average, every 20 seconds or so, you'll find a fairly clear and obvious backward message. And I believe, based on my work, that it's the unconscious mind that is speaking and communicating.
And this is what's had me obsessed with your work for so many years also, David. I have to say, because it's an honor to talk to you. Let's just say that. It's an honor to talk to you.
It is.
We've been wanting to talk to you for so long, and I'm thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. These ideas, though, I mean, that the unconscious mind could possibly be putting out the truth. In a lot of situations, I think I've heard tons of samples of your work where you say, "Okay, this person." Well, we really. I mean, I'm just
what they say forward.
Yeah,
everything is going fine, and this is what they say backwards. Oh my God, everybody duck! You know,
it's
so wild how that happens, and I'd like I don't know I guess it would be interesting to play a ghostly talk in reverse.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. I don't know what I'd hear, but
thank
you. You do. But it's just
who knows what you'll get, Mike.
I know. Well, that's what I'm scared of. That's the problem.
Is there any way though that perhaps it's just phonics? I mean, I'm sure you've been asked that a million times.
Sure.
But maybe just the phonics themselves come together, and when you play it backwards, it sounds, you know, like rambling on of words and things.
If these phrases were occurring at a very random interval, then you could say it's probably coincidence or just the way the phonics are coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they are occurring randomly. They're occurring at predictable intervals throughout the speech. They're occurring in the complete grammatically correct sentences, and which often relate directly to the forward dialogue. So when it's occurring like that, you've got to look at something more than just a random coming together of phonics, and ask yourself if there's not something more to this than meets the eye.
And I believe that. And the other follow-up to that is other languages. Like, I know English. I'm very familiar with English. It's my primary and only fluent language. But there are other languages that are not based in the Anglo-Saxon kind of dialect. There's the Oriental languages. And there's, the Romance languages. What about other languages that are not based in the same alphabet, even, as English?
I have looked at other languages, but I haven't looked at Oriental languages, so I can't comment on them.
Okay.
You know, I've trained analysts up in German and Spanish, but they were sort of they've certainly got the same alphabet as English, and we're finding reversals in the language that people are thinking in. But not having looked at Japanese or Chinese, for example, I can't comment on those languages. But, I would expect to find it in every language.
And I would, too. And that's what I was wanting to hear from you on. But you did find there's definite reversals in not just English, and that's important.
It's occurring in the primary language. If someone's in bilingual, you can actually find reversals in both languages, but the majority of them will probably be in the language that the person is thinking in at the time of speaking.
The thing, when you get into this, though, it sounds like you get. I mean, you have more years of study in this than anybody has. You pretty much invented.
Well, he invented.
Pretty much invented this, David. Okay, so my question: you get into this idea. What I'm thinking here, as we've been speaking for the last 20 minutes, is you get into linguistics a lot. I can't even say the word right. That shows you where I'm at.
Yeah, I wonder what that reversal sounds like. Yeah,
but you get into linguistics, and I'm wondering if you say, "Well, no, that wouldn't work." So I'm thinking, if you take a sentence, right, and you write a sentence down like "everything is fine," and it wouldn't make any sense though, because if you reverse that whole phrase. I'm talking in text language, right? Like just written language. You reverse that whole thing. It's going to make no sense when you try to say that back. It's how people phrase things. We all phrase things differently. I think we're all different people. And really it's a matter of speech. It has nothing to do with the words themselves. We can't break this down mechanically. right? It's just something that you're going to hear or record it. It's how people say things. So really, there's not a there's not really a way to like break this thing down into its fundamental elements. It's something that you're going to hear and
you have to experience.
You have to experience it exactly. I'm trying to find the scientific way to break this down and reoccur it over and over again in the lab, right? And I don't think that's am I correct? That's not the way you can do. You can't approach it this way, right, David?
No, you can't. No, it's so difficult to reproduce reversals, for example, because it's they're formed solely by the way you're speaking at the time. Two people can say exactly the same sentence and you get completely different reversals because it's not the words that's causing the reversals, it's the sounds of speech. So you can't, for example, like you said, look at a sentence and reverse it in your mind and try to work out what it's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way.
It's just a matter of phrasing. I know I've been through exercises in my professional life outside of Ghostly Talk where we've had classes on this, David, where we've literally sat in a circle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've sat in a circle and said, okay, here's the sentence. I am having a nice day, for example, right?
Oh, these were those
corporate
sponsored.
Yeah, right. Okay, this is great though. This is really interesting though, because I'm sure there's a bunch of other ways to phrase this, but you have, let's say we put four people in a circle, you take the sentence, I am having a nice day, right? Six words, right? And you take each person and go, okay, you say it like this, I am having a nice day. And then take the second person and go, I am having a nice day. And then take the third person and go, I am having a nice day, right? You get the point where people, it's like you say, that's just back to what you're saying. It's how people phrase their sentences.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, sure. And that's exactly what's causing the reversals. It's in the phraseology of the sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, if you ever listen to anyone talk for any long period of time, you'll hear their speech is full of pauses and stutters and stammers and tonal fluctuations and alterations and it's those very subtleties of speech that are actually creating and causing the speech reversal.
So again, that just backs up what I said. You cannot. This isn't something like a lot like ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Okay.
You actually have to take these things and listen to them and figure it out for yourself. Just because if we could just put a clip into a program and then have it spit out, oh well, here's what the people were saying, and then here's all the EVPs. Because you know, David, we're ghost hunters, and we go out trying to get voices of the dead, not voices of the living. and here's a list of all the what the living people were saying, and here's a list of what all the EVPs are. You can't get a program like that. You have to experience it with your ears and then put it out for people to experience it with their ears and their minds. So this is the same thing, only in reverse. And you know what? I think you might be responsible, or at least partly responsible, for the reason we play our EVPs forwards and backwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I never did that. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. My work has been picked up by the EVP community. And, a lot of the reasons why it's played backwards now is because of my original work. I first started corresponding with EVPs back in the early 90s, I think. And that's when you guys started looking at tapes in reverse.
Mm-hmm. It's another great way to look at EVPs, too, I think. I mean, I've done it a lot of times with the stuff we've picked up. I don't think I have the finely tuned ears that you have, David, for this sort of thing. I haven't picked up anything myself, but it is something we've tried over and over again.
And
I know
we've heard people play them backwards and forwards and say, listen to what it says forwards and then listen to what it says backwards. And sure enough, there's something there both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And not our own examples, but
other people's examples.
And they're oftentimes extremely fascinating.
They're very clear, too. That's the scariest part, is they're very clear.
Yeah.
That's what grabs me.
Some of them are.
And that's the thing. What you're doing here, David, is I've heard, kind of like I said before, I've heard countless samples of the work that you've done, the information that you presented.
We'll hear some yet.
Oh, we're going to hear some tonight, too. But the things that you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got something to play for you.
Cool. The things that you've played, though, for people out there that have not heard this sort of thing yet, we're not talking about somebody playing a sentence, you know, like, oh, I'm having a nice day, and then playing it in backwards, and it sounds like, right? And then somebody front-loading and going, see, he said, you know, you need to worship Satan or something like that, right? It isn't like that, okay? This is very clear stuff. This is very clear. Yeah. You're going to understand what's being said here very clearly, almost as if the person was saying it forwards.
Right.
That's what really...
Right. Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. Well, listen here, though. Let's give you an example in music, okay? Because that's where all this began. So here we have an example of from Creedence Clearwater Revival. We'll run this forwards.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to run this backwards to see if you can hear him singing I Believe in My Cool Woman. And again. Do you hear that one there?
It's crystal clear, man!
I think they wrote that about me.
Oh, Bonnie thinks
you can't wish it
her.
To be much clearer than that, can you? Can you?
No, it's definitely crystal clear.
David, could you play it just the reversal just one more time, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay.
Here it is backwards. And once more.
All right.
Very clear, very obvious. Yeah.
It is extremely obvious. And it's not
mean.
It's actually a nice sentence.
I believe in my cool
woman.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah, there's nothing evil or satanic about that. This guy obviously had a pretty cool girlfriend at the time. Yeah. How I would interpret that.
Well, yeah, and I mean... Like, that's the thing. I mean, I'd like the people to, if there's anything I want people to take away from this tonight, it's just that, is that I think the idea of backmasking, the idea of reverse speech has, I think, in the past gotten a bad rap with a lot of things. People equate that with, like, you know, the whole Judas Priest thing and all this
because
stuff.
Because of the
you know,
way it started. And when it starts that way, it has this stigma attached.
Yeah, and it has this negative motif. And we just heard
and
clearly.
The very first example that we heard, it's a stigma. Breaker. I mean, it's somebody, you know, singing a really cool song. It had all of us bopping, you know.
Yeah, we were
going along.
I'm telling you,
David,
you should just let that song going forward for us because we were really enjoying it.
We enjoyed that.
Of course. Yeah.
We're bopping forward.
Well, I've got dozens of examples in music that are really quite nice. Here's one here. I don't know who sung this one. Let's just rang it forward. And this is backwards, I pass the peace. See that one there?
Yeah, I pass the peace, right?
And there's a nice, positive, wholesome message.
It's beautiful, and I think that that's absolutely amazing.
It's really, and like I said, it's another example right there of how there's some nice things I think are being said in reverse speech.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's a shame that
That's okay. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, it's a shame that the reverse speech was labeled with this satanic label back in its very early days, and it was really just a couple of fringe fundamentalist Christians that got all that publicity, and the only examples they played to the public were these satanic evil type messages. But those evil messages are in the minority. By far the vast majority are very positive, supportive, uplifting messages, and they're quite clear.
They're very clear.
Here, let me play a nice, simple one in human speech. This is Bob Dole, who was former Senator Bob Dole, and here he is resigning from the Senate. Listen to his passion and his forward speech.
All right.
You do not lay claim to the office you hold. It lays claim to you. Your obligation is to bring to it the gifts you can of labor and honesty, and then to depart with grace.
And backwards, he says, it's an honor.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
Quite clear, quite apparent.
It's an honor.
And here, let me reverse the whole track, and you'll hear it amongst the gibberish. You hear a little bit of gibberish, and it's very clear, it's an honor, and then back to gibberish once.
Okay.
It's an honor to be able to say you can do it in your...
And you can hear that there quite clear.
Absolutely.
Obvious.
So we're saying, so basically, he's giving, that was his resignation speech? Was that what that was?
Right.
And
he's basically saying it was an honor for him to serve in the U.S. Senate.
That's a nice thing to say.
I think it is.
Yeah,
think,
it's a very nice thing to say.
So we think his...
Now, not all politicians are that honest, and here we've got one of John Edwards, who was running as vice president with John Kerry a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
So here is this one for us. He's having a go at George Bush for negative campaign attacks.
Well, what have we seen? Relentless negative attacks against John. So in the weeks ahead, we know what's coming, don't we? More negative attacks. Aren't you sick of it?
And backwards, she says, I'd do it again.
I'd do it again.
And what's more?
I'd do it again.
So whilst he's having a go at George Bush for negative campaign attacks, he's saying, well, listen, I'm going to do exactly the same thing. So there you have a contradictory message.
Well, and that's one of the other aspects, too, is, and we mentioned that before. I mean, we've heard a lot. We've heard a few positive things. But sometimes... You hear somebody saying something, and they may be meaning the real truth, possibly.
Yeah, backwards might be a completely another story, like in this case.
Yeah.
Well, have you, as an aside, have you ever taken any? Because this, I guess I'm you know, old and artsy fartsy and everything like that. Have you ever taken any maybe of like the great works? Like for example, when Orson Welles did. The War of the Worlds, mm-hmm. right? That I consider is a groundbreaking, if you know, somewhat tragically, presented. But it's a great work. It's a groundbreaking work, and it scared a heck of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do you think there might be?
Well,
stuff
it's actually
in that?
Quite ironic. You should mention War of the Worlds because someone actually emailed some of me some reversals a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you're kidding!
Really? Yeah,
so there are people looking at
them up right now. I don't know where I've got them filed,
mm-hmm.
but and I've listened to them, and some of them were quite good. You know, on my website, we've got sections of speech from classics like Martin Luther King, and there's hundreds of reversals from George Bush up on my website, mm-hmm. and you can have a whole bunch of fun going through. And you know, we've got some ancient stuff there too. Some on the present Kennedy assassination, and.
Mm-hmm.
Some famous media personalities, and so you can. A lot of people spend hours and hours going through all the examples on the website.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Just these couple.
I mean, again, these couple you've played. I'm like sitting here salivating, going, "This is so interesting." I can't believe you said that. How could he say that? Do you have any more? I'm sure you have a bunch more. Is there any other ones that you wanted to play real quick?
Oh, sure. I mean, where do we begin? I'm just trying to find. All right, here's the funny one. Here's one on American Evangelist. Here we go.
Great things, Warren, and I can do great things today, my friend. It just narrows itself down what he said to Simon Peter by the Sea of Galilee. Lovest thou me?
And back what he says. My advice is rancid.
My advice is around, and what's more,
there you go. Obviously, not a man you want to go to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree any more myself, to be honest with you, David.
Forward, he's preaching goodness, everything's great. Everything's
come to
great.
Me, I am the way.
I am the way, I can do all these great things, and then, but my advice
is rancid.
Yeah.
Do you have any other comedy?
You can have some real funny, I've got some real funny examples. Oh, look, here's a real funny one on George Bush as he's talking about going into the Middle East.
The progress we and our friends and allies seek in the broader Middle East will not come easily.
Okay, and I just almost about fell off my chair when I found this reversal. He says, that goes, you'll see McDonald's.
You'll see McDonald's.
So what's going to happen as America moves out into the broader Middle East? We'll see McDonald's. I'm sure they've got McDonald's restaurants popping up all over the place.
Hey, David, for the listening audience, we laughed, but we heard the first time. We all started cracking up. Could you play that one more time? We're going to keep our mouths shut.
The reversals of that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Please. You'll see McDonald's. Here we go.
You'll see McDonald's.
You'll see a McDonald's.
And again.
You'll see a McDonald's.
There you go, a little bit of light humor.
Well, that's... Well, it's funny, David. It's really... We're laughing about it. We're all laughing about it, but... God, it's the truth.
It's the truth. You know they want to put them in there.
Absolutely it is. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And here's that one, George Bush, that I found 2 weeks before America went into Iraq.
Help that nation to build a just government after decades of brutal dictatorship. The form and leadership of that government is for the Iraqi people to choose.
And backwards, he says, we will sit in Baghdad.
We will sit in Baghdad.
We will sit in Baghdad. We will sit in Baghdad.
That's exactly what America did. Moved in and went and sat in Baghdad.
Well, hey.
We're still there to this day.
Well, now, in regard to that one, now, that's an interesting piece of audio, because that's a very specified thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the sentences we've heard phrases that made sense. They were funny things that, you know, we've laughed. We've said, hey, that's a very cool thing to say. But that phrase right there is very specified.
And ominous.
It's ominous and very specified.
Yeah.
Where were we at? Well, we were in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to come through like that, that blows my mind.
Yep.
It's
quite interesting, because when I found that reverse, I went and did a couple of radio shows almost immediately, basically saying, hey, listen, you know, we're going to be moving into Iraq, and I think within a week or two of me making that statement, after I found this reversal, yep, we moved in. So there we go.
That's fascinating. That, and like I said, again, that's specified. That's what really has me going right now is, he says the word Baghdad, and it's very clear. It's very clear.
Yeah.
I, okay, I'm blown away. I'm going to sit back for a minute.
Let me play that reverse again for those who might have missed it.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, very specific, very, very obvious.
And prophetic or intentional. I mean, you know, hey, I know exactly what we want to do backwards. What about right now, there's a lot of talk about Katrina, you know, the Hurricane Katrina, and that particular topic fascinates me, because there's a lot of talk about how the government didn't do enough, and they didn't react in time for when Hurricane Katrina had come out last year at about this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm wondering is, did you get any government officials talking in reverse of, like, admitting?
No, I'm sorry. I got no reverses on the Katrina.
Really?
At all. I'm sorry. No,
that was more or less just more...
Whatsoever. I wasn't even looking at that date.
I think
about that.
No, it's no problem. I think it's just morbid curiosity on our part.
Yeah, it's a little. Yeah, because it's one of those things where I wonder if, although, you know, there's so many folks who do, you know, work like you, because you pioneered the field, and then they've got folks over there recording everything and listening to it frontward and backward. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe somebody did, but I would just be curious now to know when they were giving their speeches, because there was a lot of talking going on. You know, we did the best we can, and I wonder what that sounds like backwards. now that I'm hearing all these.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Did you have any other ones that you wanted to throw?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you can go all day on this.
Well, you know what we might do? Let's play a couple on kids. I love kids. Children are speaking reverse from as early as 4 months of age. Here is my own daughter, and you just hear her chatting away with normal baby sounds. Run it backwards, and you'll hear the gibberish, and then it's very clear hello right at the very end. And again. There we go. So there's a nice little one on kids. I like that example.
Well, I want to ask you a question about that. Do you think then the subconscious mind, which is what we believe might be creating these reversals in you know, using our vocal cords and what we intend to say, do you think the subconscious mind might actually develop faster than the conscious mind then?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, that's why reverse speech is developing before forward speech, because the unconscious mind is learning first, and it's learning to process all of this information before the conscious mind does. So that is why reverse speech occurs or begins before forward speech does, because the unconscious is learning first.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very interesting.
And maybe this was answered. I'm trying to understand this, okay, David? I'm just trying to equate, and this is me trying to break things down and label them again, so forgive me in advance. I apologize.
No, that's quite okay.
Yep. What we're saying here is that the conscious mind, it's speaking and even crying like your daughter was doing, just crying, being a baby.
Yeah, right.
It's speaking forward. You can't really understand. It's just crying. We know it's we equate that with all types of different, you know, emotions, but for a baby especially. And then we equate that with the conscious mind. That's the conscious mind working and giving us output, giving us feedback, letting us know what we're doing. Are we saying that the subconscious mind being – I'm gonna screw this up. I'm going to confuse everybody in the listening audience probably. I'm just wondering, the subconscious mind is learning first. We scramble that information around in our head, and we process that into the conscious mind, and that's our output. But in our subconscious mind – God help me, Doug. I'm trying to understand this. It's so fascinating.
The subconscious mind, a lot of folks believe, is actually more powerful in this case than your conscious mind, because it's there, it's always on. Mm-hmm. Your conscious mind is, you know, you put it to sleep every night for, you know, what, 3 to 8 hours, you know.
3 hours in our case.
Yeah, sometimes in my case less. But so the conscious mind is, you know, has all these needs, and yeah, it's processing. But the subconscious mind is what processes all of the input you're getting, and then selectively gives your conscious mind things to process. Like, oh, look at that vase, it's blue. Well, you may notice that in one situation. You may not notice that in another, because your subconscious mind might not pick that out as a detail to give you.
Okay. All right.
You would have seen it, but you would have not paid attention to it. The attention is your conscious mind, what you pay attention to.
Right.
But your subconscious mind gets everything. So it's learning, evidently, at a very early age to work with your vocal cords and the sounds that you make, encoding its... you know, its messages.
Mm, okay. Well, thank you, David and Doug. I did not get. I was trying to. I'm trying to get my head around this, and it's so fascinating, especially that piece of audio right there.
But it also means that even there's a lot of people who can do some amazing things with their voice. Like David, I mean, there's folks who can imitate past presidents. There's folks who can imitate Captain Kirk from Star Trek. There's people who can imitate all these folks, and they sound exactly like the real person. Mm-hmm, you know, they can do amazing things with their voice.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps because it's the subconscious or unconscious part of our mind doing these reversals, I wonder if folks cannot get out of encoding these messages in reverse. I wonder if it's physically impossible mentally impossible to not encode messages.
Yeah, Dave, is there any way...
Oh, whoa.
Hey, I think we impressed David.
Yeah, well, no, well, that's a good question. No, you can't not do it, because it's a natural function of language. Now, you can actually reduce it. It's actually coming from the right brain hemisphere. So if you can be very left brain and emotionless in your speech, then you can reduce the number of reversals that will occur, but they're still going to occur anyway.
So really it's a matter of shutting it down.
If you wanted to, you could... reduce the number of reversals you could produce. But
well, David, I know of a couple college professors I had that I think they've mastered that already.
Why? Are they, like, totally dry and emotionless?
I got some of the best sleep I ever had in those classes, I swear to God. But, no, that's interesting, though, because, that's impossible to do. It is impossible to do.
Sure.
The chalk, even in your mind, I think it's impossible for your mind.
Do you have any... Do you have any that might be a little on the risque side, like where somebody's saying, you know, in forward they're saying, you know, things like, oh, you know, I believe in equality and everything is wonderful, and then in the back backwards they might be saying like, oh wow, I'd like to take her out or something. You know, I want to go on a date with her or something like this. Something on the and
here's
maybe one embarrassing.
Paula Jones talking about Bill Clinton.
But it was an adventure. It was something I usually don't do, but I don't think that they're not vulgar pictures. They're not disgusting pictures. I think they're very tasteful, and it was an adventure. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Oh, that's right. I think she plays with Playboy or something. Anyway,
yeah.
That was Give Me Sex.
Give me sex.
There you go. That's risque.
Hot.
And
wow.
Here's another risque one. This is on Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, boy.
Talking about Bill Clinton again. No, isn't that ironic? You asked me to pull out some whiskey reversal, and they're both relating to Bill Clinton.
Person that comes to mind, Bill Clinton.
I don't really have these feelings for him. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I don't really have these feelings. Maybe I'm pretending it. I don't know.
And back what she says, masturbate him.
Masturbate him.
There you go. Two whiskey reversal for you.
The truth is out.
Not bad.
Not bad. And the truth is out, like I said.
So people are always thinking about that stuff all the time.
Absolutely. You get it in their speech all the time. Oh, yeah. Sexual reversals are form a strong basis of who we are.
Well, here's the thing, too. This is very high level, but I think this may help us. Concerning that subject.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too far with it, but concerning that subject, in that case, if there's any way, I don't know if you've measured this or not or evaluated it, do you get more reversals in a risque nature with men? Because you just played two women, right? Do you happen to get
that's
more?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd say you're getting more in the women. No, I'd say the women are producing more risque reversals than men. Oh, yeah.
The reason I asked that is I read an article years ago that said men, hands down, think about the S word, like 200,
S word,
like,
yeah.
Well, at least 200 times a day. It's probably even more nowadays.
You know, I've read that too.
It's probably even more now with all the media that's out there and all these types of advertising.
Oh, the advertising is throwing all that stuff in your face all the time.
It's probably a lot more. So that's why I was asking you, does it seem to come through with more men? But you're saying now that it comes through more with more women in your experience, right, James?
Oh, wow, yeah, I would certainly say that's the case based on my work, yeah. Definitely.
We got you, girls. We got you now.
Oh, we're starting to do you think we're starting to understand
that's
women?
Never. You will never understand women. Ever.
Okay. Well, we thought maybe we had a little glimmer, but
yeah,
I guess.
Possibly, not. Yeah. It's always.
I could have told you we're as perverse as the average man. All I had to do was ask.
Okay.
Dave, did you want to move on to any other ones? I mean, we're just kind of flying out to the seat of our pants here, so if there's any other ones.
Oh, yeah, no, that's okay. Hey, why don't I pull some out on some that's never been played on the air before.
Oh, okay. Well, I like that.
And that's on John Carr, who's a suspect in the Ramsey case.
Interesting.
All right, let me see.
No problem.
All right. I've got a couple here I can play. All right, here's John Carr saying he's very sorry for what happened to JonBenet.
He gave to her that I am so very sorry for what happened to JonBenet.
And he says backwards, your service.
Your service.
That doesn't really tell us a great deal, but other than the fact that he thinks he's doing a service or a good deed by reaching out to the Ramseys. Then he has...
No, I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, okay. And then we've got another one that makes me wonder whether he's not telling us the truth.
There's no way I can tell about it. I'm kind of it's very involved...
And he says, you rave this, R-A-V-E, you rave this, this is serum. And again. So that's using two metaphorical statements here. Rave is meaningless talk. So when I hear him say, you rave this, I'm thinking, I don't know whether I can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is serum. He's getting a high off of the confession. It's doing him some sort of internal gratification of some strange sort. So.
Well, that's you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because we were thinking about that a little bit. You have done, and I'm not familiar 100% with the work you did. I mean, you did do some work with the Ramses 10 years ago.
Yes, I did.
I don't know if you have those available or not.
Oh, yeah, I've got Ramsey reversals available. Oh, sure, yeah. That was a really interesting case for Ramses. There was reversals that certainly seemed to hint that they were involved. Like, I've got this one on Patsy Ramsey here.
We feel like there are at least two people on the face of this earth that know who did this. And that is the killer and someone that person may have confided in.
And that's what she says, I'm that person.
I'm if not a kid.
And once more. So that either means that she's the person who knows, or she's the killer.
She's responsible
for it. It's hard to know which way to interpret that reversal.
Well, that
was one of the ones in the early stages. Sorry?
I was thinking also it could just be, I mean, you figure, okay, this was a tragic event, her daughter, right? Somebody who she put a lot of time, energy, and love into, and perhaps she wanted to be that person, so the person who actually knew.
That's true. It could be. You know, I don't have any reversals on the Ramses that say we did it. You know, I've got none that say that. I've only got sort of vague hints. You know, now you look at someone like Scott Peterson, for example. And here's Scott Peterson.
He's sitting
on death row for the murder of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we have a reporter asking him, did you murder your wife?
Did you murder your wife?
No. I did not. And I had absolutely nothing to do with her disappearance. And
when he says, no, I did not.
No, I did not.
He says, backwards neck. I hit hard.
I hit hard.
And once more.
I hit hard.
So he's actually telling us how he committed the crime. He hit his wife hard in the back of the neck.
Now
that's an obvious confession.
Mm.
So perhaps the Ramsey case, they're not vague. I mean, they're really telling us something, right? But they're not admissions.
Right.
Whereas with Scott Peterson, it's like, oh, you want to know how? I'll tell you how I did it. You know?
Yeah, right.
I wonder.
But see, I don't have any of those reversals on the Ramses. But you know, I mean, I've got reversals that sort of hint at it, but nothing that I can say specifically. So. You know, here's one on John.
We want to thank those people that care about us.
And he says backwards, our rape hurt.
Our rape hurt.
So see, that could be referring to the rape to the family, because their family was raped.
How come they're so difficult to interpret then sometimes? Like with the Ramses, obviously the reversals were hinting in a direction, and yet then we find out 10 years later that, oh, there's this, this other stuff went on, and then there's this guy, and there's all these other things. And so we find out later, but at the time you look at the reversals and you're like, ooh, they all hint in this direction, and then it could be... Maybe is it like interpreting prophecy at that point? I mean, how does this? Why are they so vague sometimes?
Oh well, look, the study of reverse speech is interpretive. It's interpreted in two ways: A, in the reversals that you find. There's a skill in finding actual reversals, and then once you find them, what do they mean? And that's the other interpretive thing to it. And it's with all forensic investigative tools, they are all interpretive and subject to the skill of the person who's doing the locating and the interpreting. And reverse speech is not an exact science. And I don't know whether it ever will be.
Well, I don't think it could be, because like I said earlier...
I don't know. You would know, David. Has reverse speech ever been admitted in court?
No.
Not
never.
Yet?
No. The only time it ever got close was in the trial of Judas Priest back in 1991. They were actually sued by the parents of two teenagers who suicided listening to Judas Priest. And the
very
parents claimed that they had backward messages in the album. But Judas Priest were exonerated in that case. But as far as reverse speech being used to convict somebody in a court of law, no. The police have used it in the investigative phase of investigations. It can certainly reveal some valid clues. But I don't think it should be used to convict someone either. Its use is in the investigative arena.
Well, yeah.
So it's similar to, like, for example, lie detector tests can be beaten, right? And sometimes those are admissible and sometimes they're not, depending on the circumstances and the trial and everything. But, but people can look at that and say, oh, there's this machine, and we know kind of what it does and all that kind of stuff. Because if they don't understand it, at least they think they could.
It's repeated over and over again. Scientifically, it's been proven.
Right. Well, it's been shown to be effective in certain cases.
You're right.
And whereas this is relatively new as far as that goes, because the reverse speech thing is just a couple dozen years old, and so perhaps its applications right now are better for investigative purposes rather than
conviction. Oh, sure, that's certainly what I think. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, absolutely, fascinating stuff. I'm blown away.
It is always a pleasure to talk about reverse speech.
We've done it before. It's James Willis came in. That's who we were talking about earlier.
James, a
friend of ours from the show, from another state here in the United States, David came on, and he was talking about backmasking, and we listened to a bunch of samples then, and it's really interesting, and it's a lot of fun too. I mean, do you enjoy doing this? That's obvious. You've been doing it forever now. You have a good time doing this, right, David?
It's always fun tracking down a mystery and trying to solve it. I've probably spent a good 40, 50 hours a week just running tapes backwards, and I've been doing that for 20 odd years now. So you have to get some enjoyment out of it to stick something for that long.
Oh, absolutely.
And you do a podcast thing. You're on the internet with this, right?
You do. Are you still doing? You still?
Well,
doing...
I was. I stopped my show about 6 months ago. Now, a lot of people want me to start it back up again, so I may do that.
I know.
I'm thinking about getting it started up. I was when I lived in America. I did have my own show. I did every Saturday night. It was syndicated coast to coast. That was very exciting. But that hasn't been that way for a while now.
Well, I have to say, we need to get you back on the air, David.
Yeah, nowadays we're doing all that podcasting.
Well, I'd love to go back.
We need to get you back on the air, David. Unfortunately, we're out of time, though. David, we need to thank you.
Okay,
it's been an honor.
It has been an honor. I love talking to you, David. Thank you.
My pleasure.
It was a really great time. David, stay on the line for 1 second. We're just going to go to break, okay? Hang tight for 1 second.
Sure. Okay.
Guys, David John Oates, man.
David John Oates on Ghostly Talk. Thank you so much. Coming up next, of course, is David Brocky. A couple of Davids today. Dave Brocky, Odorous Youngest of Guar.
I can hear him stomping down the street right now as we speak.
Yes, the minions
cell phone. I know their minions are around the haunted winery as we speak, so we need to get to this real quick, or somebody's going to lop our arm off or something. I don't know. I'm really scared.
So we'll be right back.